Set summer in motion with the most adventurous Honda vehicles yet, like the Passport and Pilot Trail Sport, and the Ridgeline, built for better off-road performance and engineered for more adventure. Summer's here. For a limited time, well-qualified buyers can get a 3.9% APR on a 2023 Honda Pilot, a 2.9% APR on a 2023 Passport, and a 0.9% APR on a 2023 Ridgeline.
Buy online, reserve from select dealers, or visit your local Honda dealer today.
See dealer for financing details.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of Not Cool with Sarah Hyland. Today's guest, one I'm a huge fan of, so multi-talented, so pumped that he's here. I didn't know how to put down questions for this guy, even to introduce this guy, because there's so much. But let me just start where I can start. He's a comedian, an actor, improviser, I'm just going to say that. Podcaster, he's all around, he's been around. His Scream, Romeo and Juliet, you have a new movie coming up. Listen, if you look at his Wikipedia, brace yourself and give yourself 10 minutes to scroll down on the numerous amount of accolades that he has. Everybody, Jamie Kennedy.
Wow.
Yeah, Jamie
what
Kennedy.
What an intro.
But it, what, listen.
Can we close that door all the way?
That way we nice like to it. Keep the sound of construction for our guests, yeah. So that you guys, so, because all of my guests have extreme ADHD at some sort
Thank
of capacity,
you.
Including
that
myself. We like to give you as many.
What an intro. You're too sweet, too kind.
Not really, though. I mean, I was telling Jamie before we started filming is that he's the only guest, and this is, I've only done, well, this will be 29 episodes.
29.
Or 28, 29. And you're the only guest that when I went to research, you know, do my homework on you,
yes.
That I couldn't pinpoint simplistic questions for you. Because first off, can I say you have the best Wikipedia?
Really?
Have you looked at your Wikipedia as of late?
Not in a minute. I know most of it's true. Some of it was like lies, but you know.
It's not.
Maybe some of it's true.
It's definitely true. Let me see. I mean, but
you gotta ask me.
What's that?
You're like, it's definitely true.
No, it's true. Of course, where the hell did it go? But no, it goes into.
I wasn't in a Scream. I was never in Scream.
Yes, you were. You were actually, you did a podcast here with Katie, who's actually in the room, right?
Yes, yes. We did Horror Head.
About
Horror at the Store.
Horror at the Store. Okay, so what's amazing, why is this not, oh, there it is. Okay. It goes on to say, can I read this a little bit?
Yes.
Okay. One of the first things it says is, when Kennedy arrived in Los Angeles, he became a professional Hollywood extra. That's in the first paragraph.
True. Okay?
After a few years of struggling, Kennedy was unable to find an agent and worked as a host at Red Lobster. I've never seen this.
True.
Anybody's Wikipedia, where it's so dissected into you worked at, I've never seen Red Lobster in a Wikipedia in my life.
Wait, hold that thought.
Go in.
Guess where's the Red Lobster I worked at? Where did I meet you at?
I'm like in the valley?
Yeah, where did I meet you at? Salton's.
Mind,
salt
body, and
spray.
Salt. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Next to that
yeah.
is a restaurant. That was the Red Lobster.
Are you serious?
100%.
What is the serendipitousy?
100%. I got the job actually before I was an extra in 1989.
Yeah.
And that's where I saw my first, I used to wrote my first comedy bit out of there called The Picky Bum.
And at Red Lobster.
Yes, because I used to throw out bread. They had these sourdough rolls.
Yeah.
And I would throw out the bread at night extra, and there would be some, well, we used to call them bums, but homeless people.
Yeah.
And I gave the guy bread because I felt bad, and he goes, hey, you got any lobster tails? And I go, no, we just have bread. And he goes, well, it's a lot of carbs. That was not the true story.
I believe that
story.
He said
it was a lot of carbs in 1989. That's why I wrote my first joke.
Do you know I believe that story? Because I have a similar story, almost exact story.
Yeah.
Not at Red Lobster, though. It was, nobody wants carbs. Do you know how
no one
horrible the carb industry? No, because I used to serve lunch down at the Midnight Mission, which okay. is most of the, you know, a massive, if you're not from Los Angeles, but it's a, you know, we have a, our homeless population is, they, you know, it's called Skid Row, and one of the missions down there is called the Midnight Mission, and you can go down there, volunteer, serve.
Very popular one.
Breakfast, lunch, dinner, yes. If you want to get out of yourself, go serve somebody food. But it's an interesting thing, because when we would serve the, you know, the trays, the one thing they didn't want, bread.
Wow.
Bread. I would put bread. They're like, I don't want fucking bread. I was like, but are you sure?
Wow,
they, yeah, they're like, yeah, give me another scoop of corn or something. You know what yeah. I mean? But they never, I was like, you yeah. know what? The bread industry took a wrong turn somewhere. Nobody wants this.
That gluten.
Yeah. Everybody's got gluten now. So anyway, I appreciate your story. And when you were at Red Lobster, what did you write your joke on? Was it a napkin? Was it a Red Lobster takeout bag?
Was red, it? Red Lobster. I started writing it on the,
I want to say the bib.
I want to say the things. They do put like a piece of paper.
Placemat.
A placemat, yeah. And then yeah. I bought my little notebook because I was like, that's where you keep ideas. And I bought a little notebook.
Yeah.
And that's how I started writing things. Well, I didn't even know what I was going to do.
Everybody has some sort of weird form of paper.
Yeah.
Utensil, tally or whatever yeah. that they write to their. Mine was a napkin.
Yeah.
But I like the placemat. Were you on, break?
I don't remember. It was 32 years ago.
Do you still
what time of day did you write this joke? Jesus Christ.
Which is weird.
Fact checker.
20. Yeah.
It was. The cool
like
thing
the
is.
Details. That's well, why I love what, your Wikipedia.
Well, what it was that at restaurant, which yeah. is a Red Lobster, which is yeah. a staple.
Yeah.
Which here's what I remember about it. Then I go into the place that you sometimes work at, which is another comedian's place, which is wild. And yeah. then. Jerry's Deli was the spot to work, which is not there anymore, which yeah. makes me cry.
Yeah.
And I used to take the bus, which is now like a felony if you take the bus because it's like so crazy. And so I used to take the bus and I'd yeah. sit at that bus stop across in front of that Ralph's. And I was so broke that I was like, I'm going to save up for a bike.
Hmm.
And so that was in 89. And I did that, and I'm thinking, like, when I drive up there now, so many things are gone that were there, and it just makes me sad. The Sportsman Lodge is
there.
Sad. No, it's closed, but there's amazing new food court, which is incredible. But the fact that the Sportsman's closed is sad.
But are you sure? Because it says Sportsman Lodge.
I just called. I know. I just called because I was just there. I went to there 4th of July and ate some food.
You did? But it's awesome. A brand new, beautiful.
I know, but maybe they're redoing it.
Well, did you ever perform in the courtyard, like the outside?
Of the Sportsman?
Yeah.
They had
open mics there all the time.
I didn't know that one.
Oh, my God. Yeah, they had one shitty closet that people performed in with, like,
what year was this?
I don't know.
Probably really.
10 years ago,
yeah,
12 years ago.
After my time.
Yeah, it was epic. Everything was wood. Like, they literally came in and charred
I think I heard about it, actually.
Yeah, it was a very popular one. Okay, so anyway.
Go back.
All right, great. All right, that's the first line. He auditioned for over 80 commercials and could not book one. That is in your wick. Okay. He then took a job as a telemarketer and learned that he had a talent for selling things. Kennedy then thought that if he could sell anything, why not sell myself, becoming his own agent? This is when it really got me, because I want to know where you got it. Kennedy created a false persona, screen agent Marty Power, to attract the attention of real agents and managers over the phone. Where did you get Marty Power?
All true.
Which I love it.
Would you want me to comment on it?
Yeah. Okay. No, I think it's brilliant.
So I was doing, it was actually 30 years ago this year.
Yeah.
I worked, there's an apartment building between, I want to say, Fountain and Sunset mm-hmm. on La Brea, right near the 7th Vale.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom of that apartment building was telemarketing. My friend Barry.
Mm-hmm.
Was a comedian. We're all on the open mic circuit. This was before Starbucks. So we didn't have like whatever you guys have today, all the different things. Like the big sign up to get in a real club was here on Potluck
mm-hmm.
and Improv New Faces. And that was it. And the rest you have to wait. And So we basically did a lot of coffee shops, and there weren't just comics. There were poets. There were musicians. It was all types of stuff, hippie spots.
That performed intermittently with comics.
And you got four, okay. You got 5 minutes.
That's my jam. All right.
And we were always, a lot of them were Venice, which was good. And so my buddy was like, dude, you can become a telemarketer, and for every number you get, it's called a lead, you get 75 cents. So I thought, well, if I can make 50 leads a day, that's 50, you know, or 75 is like 50 bucks or whatever. So I started, you know, to go in there at 6 a.m. It was terrible. Get out at 2, but you have the rest of the day to maybe get an audition or something. I started doing that. Started making money. Mm. It was very corrupt. We didn't know what we were doing, but it was like struggling actors, struggling comedians, strippers, struggling porn stars, rockers, all types of stuff. And I got good at it. And so I did that job, and then some days, I don't know if you remember this, there would be people that would sell sandwiches in a cooler and sell to office buildings. You ever see that?
No.
So I used to be a guy that would pull sandwiches around to different office buildings on the 9200s of Sunset, and you make commission per sale. Long story boring is I did those two jobs.
Anything with a cooler, I'm like, tell me everything.
Tell me everything. Yeah. So I would use voices to sell because I'd call over the country. I got good at that. And then I was hustling face to face, and I was good at flipping corned beef sandwiches. And so that's my whole game is like, I could never fit into a regimented system because I just don't listen to the bosses. I don't think they're that smart. I'm not good with middle managers. So I would get fired a lot. So, but the ability to talk and persuade is my angle, right? So I did this stuff, and I'm like, I'm selling sandwiches. I'm selling I'm telling office supplies. Like, why can't I sell myself? So I bought a book called Think and Grow Rich. Everyone should read it. And then How to Win Friends and Influence People. Everyone should read it. And then I just basically looked at myself as a product. The reason I used Marty Power is because at the time there was a big agent by the name of Marty Bauer, Bauer and Associates, which was a big agency, and they combined with another company called Triad, and they formed a company called UTA. So UTA, and Marty was one of the heads of, and I said, I can't say Bauer because that would be like illegal, but I can say something, what rhymes with it? Power. Mm-hmm. And so you want power. It was all this subliminal shit. Yeah. And I started calling, and then that's literally how it really started for me.
So when if an agent or a job was like, hey, we want to hire Jamie, who do we talk to? And then you would just
no. So you have to understand, this is 1993. Yeah. I was living in my buddy's back half. My buddy was dating. This is also illegal. My buddy was a law degree, a law, what is that, graduate program. So he was like in his second 4-year run. And he was dating his professor. But they were, you know, he was like 25 and she was like, I don't know, 45, which was, you know, I guess would be frowned upon today. But he's an amazing lawyer and she's an amazing lawyer. And they were dating. And I lived in her back. She had a garage converted. Yeah. So I lived in her back house. And I had a phone, and I had an answering machine, and I had a beeper, Skytel.
Yeah,
so I would, there was a book of all the agencies and casting directors, so I would just dial for dollars every day.
Yeah.
It was a process, but long story boring is that you have to think of it as totally different than today. So when I would get a call back, they would request a package, and that would be the headshot and one little piece of tape, and then it was a 6-month process before I started getting meetings.
Yeah.
But I got reps out of it. But basically I think I'm still my better own rep.
Yeah.
I think I'm better than any agent I could have.
Where did you learn? I mean, yes, things are definitely different than they are now, but you definitely seem to have a savvy about you, like a street sense, like whether it was like selling yourself or whatever, but you seem to have a spidey sense of how to succeed, of how to navigate, that a lot of people I don't think have. Mm-hmm. I don't. Like a lot of people, if they could do that, they would have done it,
mm-hmm.
right? Because mm-hmm. a lot of people are good at sales, but it doesn't mean they're like, oh, I think even if they wanted to be an actor, they wouldn't know how to.
Are a lot of people good at sales, though?
I don't, I mean, I come from a whole family of salesmen, so I don't know. I'm terrible at it, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I know.
What do they sell?
Cars, insurance.
Okay, so you're, I would say sales are not people's forte, so that you're definitely in a select group. Here's what I try.
When I first got here, because my dad and my uncle and everybody was a salesperson, I was like, I'm gonna, because somebody suggested, like, why don't you try and sell cars? I was like 24, walking around LA, going from car dealership. Can you, this is when I was like, what are you doing? Like, trying to work as a car, no education, no backing.
Where are you from?
Kentucky.
With that face, they would have put you in cars. Did you ever try modeling?
I did first. I'm too meaty to model. I can't. I did when I was much younger. I was in a competition in a mall, and that was enough for me. Like, I was.
I mean, you could have sold cars. What I'm saying is, you're underselling yourself.
I just say that.
But
for whatever reason, when I listen to you, there is something about you that is innately there, that you crafted this whole career. Like, no one, who does that? Marty Powers? Like, even if somebody had that idea, the balls to actually do it, there's two kinds of people. There's people that, you know what I mean? So where did you get that? Like, where did that come from? And I guess what I mean by that is, you know, I know you were raised in Northeast, right?
Philly.
Right? Mm-hmm. Did you come from, was that your family? Did it come from something that, like, your pop was like that? Your mom was like that? Like, where did that come from? You're a self-made person.
Hold on, let me think about this.
I know, that's a lot of questions.
You asked a lot of questions. One, get one.
Let me narrow it down.
You know, in a perfect world, I like to just, I don't even know what I wanted to do. And then once I found my lane, I just want to be a creative person and, like, people take care of you. Unfortunately, I'm going to tell you, I think, where it comes from. Unfortunately, I have the ability to be a, you know, an artist or a creative person. And then I have the ability to watch that person. Do you know what I'm saying? So I'm also looking at the situation, and I come from a family of narcissists, and they're all smart in different ways. You know, there's really educated people in book sense. There's really educated people in practical, like, application sense. And there's people that are smart and artistically. And I think that you give, it's like, it's kind of like when I went to school, I'm like, oh, well, the teacher knows. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, okay, this teacher doesn't know shit. And then you're like, oh, the principal knows. And you're like, oh, the principal's a fucking idiot. And so it's like, it's basically like, as you do things in life, you realize that they're not really that smart. And then I came to Hollywood, and I'm like, oh, this is, you know, this is, let the pros do it. And then you get in, and then it's like, look at Hollywood as your first, like, open mic. Mm-hmm. And, like, the booker is like, before you know anything, that's the booker. Ooh, that's the booker. Yeah, yeah. And then you realize the booker is a fucking mongo. And it's like, that's basically Hollywood. It's like, you know, when you get your first gig on Victory Boulevard in Sherman Way, and you're like, I've made it. And then you realize behind the top, it's like, that's how it is. So I think it's just leveling up. And then you, if you observe things, which we should do because we're comedians, and then you're like, 2 and 2 don't actually equal 4. And then you just get annoyed, and you start seeing other people that are doing well. And I think I just learned, and then I just had I'm lucky. I'm just, like, able to see a situation and see if it's bullshit. And then I didn't really give a fuck. I didn't have anything else. And it's like, of course I played the game, but, like, I try to always be a nice person. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of dummies in our business. It's littered with dummies. Like, there's so many dumb people. Mm-hmm. And you just have to kind of navigate around them, the speed bumps, and then to get what you want. Once I learned that. Is that too much?
No.
It is. It's really, most people are very stupid in our business. You know that, right?
Well, I think what I identify with
Riddled with insecurity, and they fuck with people, and they block people. And I can get really mad right now and throw something at this guy.
Go in, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's how. So once you see that, you're like, oh, so you have to be more manipulative than they are. to get what you want, to be an artist. And that's sad.
It takes a lot of energy.
Because there's people that are just good at what they do and they should be watered like a little plant. But you got all these weirdos that are like trying to block it because they're jealous of them. And it's like, go out and be your own plant.
Right. Well, so because even now, when I watch you now in your current life, I feel like, you know, even, you know, on your podcast, like there's a lot, I'm not going to say angst, but like, which is what you said of like, there's a lot of passion behind kind of where your perspective right now on many different things, on many different. But I think you're, what I hear is that you're always kind of challenging, probably why jobs are difficult, challenging authority, challenging the boss, challenging, because you're right. What I was going to say is what I identify with, like having so much fear because that, or inferiority, because that people should know better. Like they're the boss, like they know what they're doing. But then you get there, you level up and you're almost like, oh wait, there's like a humility about it. Like everybody's, you're not better than me. But at the same time, it's like, how do you operate through that? Because you still have to somehow work with them to get what you want.
Let me answer that very clearly. Is that, let me say this. Oh, fuck, what was I going to say? You play the game like, I forget what the third P is. I had a great acting coach and he said, three P's is how you succeed in this business. Professionalism, preparation, and there's one other P, I forget. And I just thought about that. What was your question? Was how to maneuver it, challenge it. I think you have to be at where you're at in the level of what you're doing, and you have to just, what's the goal? And for me, the goal was always to be successful. Mm-hmm. So I would do whatever, you know, obviously within good morality code, do what I had to do to be successful. I've never done anything weird. I just worked hard and I played the game. But I would lose ego. And when, even though I was had a lot of ego, that would hide in my, when I go to my apartment and go, fuck, you know what I mean? But when I'm there, I'm like, hey, how are you? Just to keep going.
Yeah.
And so you keep that, you make a list. And then once you elevate, I didn't even burn the bridge. I would just be like, that's what that person is. Now I know. And I try to move within the circles that would help me. And I think, you know, there's a great thing of also trying to be undeniable. Like you do something that people can't deny you. Like if you do a set and you absolutely kill, you know, there's always that saying, kill so hard that the next comic can't follow you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That was a big thing in my day of like, so the people are like, what was that?
Yep.
You know, and so I think that if you do your work really hard and you get the right opportunities, it will hit. There's a lot of injustices, but it will hit. And here's the other thing is I had nothing else.
Yeah.
I'm desperate. I was desperate and I had nothing to fall back on. I tell people that you can't. Yeah. And I didn't really have a fan. I love my family, but they didn't understand what I was doing, but they didn't stop me. But they were like, we don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And my friend group were all other desperate people. You know what I mean? I didn't have time for barbecues and like weddings. It was like, I'm trying to get 5 minutes at the haha, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, I think you have to be fueled by desperation of necessity, but it has to, it's not something that you want. It's something that you need. Think of it like water in the desert. Like that's the reason I did this is because it was like, I needed it. You know what I mean? For whatever reason.
Yeah.
Anytime I was weird in high school or grade school, people would laugh that it was weird. When I moved to LA, it was revered. Like when I did my first show in Venice, like I did it on the boardwalk. There was a local, there was like an open mic on the boardwalk. And things that I would do weird for normal people, people were like, you're so funny. Or like if you did a good scene in cold reading class and like a beautiful girl that never talked to you would look at you like, how'd you do that? Just a different animal, right?
Yeah.
So you're, I found my skill set, you know? So once, just enough, what's the word? Praise or whatever, or enough reassurance.
Yeah.
And then enough, I have a lot of anger. I think those things fueled me.
Yeah.
And nothing, I had nothing else going on.
Well, I guess, okay. But like when you were talking about the need for that, that usually comes from somewhere. So like when you were like even in okay, before you moved out to Los Angeles, you said that, you know, you found like these were your homies, like you found your crew, like people accepted yeah. the weird stuff. But like when, because when you were in grade school and a kid, were you just as funny and people didn't give you the accolades that you wanted?
I actually had a funny group of people. Like there was a lot of funny people. It was like a bunch of dudes. And they were all funny, like different. Some were athletes, some were wise asses. We did have a funny group. I think growing up in where I grew up outside of Philadelphia, I always said you either had to know how to fight or be funny. You know what I mean? And some people had both. And, you know, I tell people this, like, I know people that have never taken the bus in LA. Like, I started taking the subway at like 9 or 10, you know? Like, so it's like, yeah, I was with my mom or sometimes my sister, but once I started, it was such a beautiful way of life to see all types of different things yeah. that you just don't see if you're grow up in a little suburban bubble. So I think I just learned, like what you're saying, a lot of the stuff I learned from the street, meaning like at the playground, yeah. with your friends, at kickball. And it was like, you know, I was raised in the Catholic school system. And it was like, fuck this, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was like, so I think the authority was there. Also, I was a sickly child. I had moments where I was sick. And I just kept questioning everything. And I think once I realized that everything was bullshit, I just kind of said, well, I'm going to live the life I want to live. And I didn't answer to people. I wasn't like, well, I got to do this for my family. I was like, that's a lot of problems people do. It's like, well, my family, maybe. If you have to live your life to please your family or something, you ain't living your life.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is you got to break away. You have to be able, if you really want to do something in this world, you have to be able to go and say, I might be very lonely.
For sure. 100%. Well, there's a lot. Well, can I ask you something too? Because you mentioned something, because I'm wondering, because I was, not to make this a religious thing, because it's not, but I was born and raised in the Catholic Church, like 12 years of Catholic schooling.
Ooh, you were in the same prison system.
But it was the same, but I had the same, and actually, you know what, take that back. You did not say
and
this.
You have hell on your sneaker, Jesus.
Yeah, I do, buddy. But it was something, it was my first time, like, questioning, because in fourth grade, we had to do reconciliation.
Yeah.
Where you had to go to the priest and tell him all the things that you've done. You're like eight. And I remember being like, wait, what? I haven't, you want to even make up something? I'm not, I'm okay. I remember having that feeling. I was like, I'm eight. I haven't fucked up yet. Like, I'm okay. Like, yeah. what do you want me to do? So I just started making shit. You know, and I was like, I stole cookies, you know, and then they would give you 1,200 prayers to go as a penance, right?
Yes.
Which I didn't remember any of the prayers. But anyway, but it was the first time, and I challenged like the cardinal on my confirmation name because I wanted a boy name. He's like, you can't have a boy saint. And I was like, why not, bitch? So we like got into this whole, because I wanted to be Sebastian because I like Sebastian Bach from, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it goes, I'm just getting up. So anyway, but it was the first time, it was the first moment besides my family, but like that I was like, wait, what? Like, you know, kind of constantly questioning what somebody was telling me to believe.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, but why? You know, because like,
yeah.
that guy looks hungry. You know, like I would always just, because we would just stare every Sunday at the, you know, the guy on the cross. Again, not religious. This is just my perspective.
Yes.
You know, so I'm wondering, like, is that someplace that the root of it started there? Because you say like you're angry. It's like, well, what are you angry about? Like what, like where does that come from? Do you know what I mean? If that makes sense.
A lot of things.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be like a whole other podcast. I think the biggest thing I'm angry about, I think, in the world is hypocrisy.
Mm.
That's what my pod is about. Like, I see people saying one way, and then I know how they really are. Mm. And I'm like, the reason why I get so mad is because why the world is fucked up is because people put out an image of it's one way, and they're doing something on another way.
Mm-hmm.
And then but the people believe that this is what they are, and it gives these false ideologies. So that's what makes me mad. It's like the world would be a much more harmonious place if people were just transparent and honest about who they are. Mm-hmm. And that's number one. But yeah, I mean, the Catholic Church could definitely make angry. There's a lot of repression there and mm-hmm. a lot of power of like you know, and fear.
A lot of fear.
I'm not against religion, but I'm not in. I'm more of a, like, you know, believe in, like, there's a higher power, but it doesn't mean I'm going to subscribe to one religion about it. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great way to get anger. That's one way for sure.
Yeah. Well, I think that's when we started talking at Mumbo and Soul. I think that's what we were kind of connecting life. With
yeah.
was just life stuff. Like, you know, I don't, and I guess I'm wondering too with the transparency thing, because I totally agree. Of course it would be a better world. I have no idea what that would look like because I think we're so weighted down with so much information and so, and it's just going to continue.
Meaning that if you are a person that says you're living a healthy lifestyle, but you're doing 3 rails of coke every week.
Yes.
Just show that you're also doing 3 rails of coke.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. If you're a person that says you like to be monogamous, but once a week you have sex with a hooker, you have to include that. That's what I'm saying. You don't. That's whatever it is. Show all of it.
Yeah.
Or don't preach.
Right. But do you think that, like, again, social media and what we present, do you think that has something to do with it? And why do you think that we're so consumed with this ideology of what it is appearing to be, like the show?
Okay, let me answer that. Why is that funny?
Because I just love you.
I love talking to you. It's funny because my social media, I really do try to, you know, I try to look presentable, but I put out there what I really feel in an honest way that's kind of packaged up and like whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I do show, like, warts and all. Not terribly awful, but, like, I want to make it digestible to people. But I do show. I don't, like, do a bunch of bullshit and make sure the background's right and all the stuff. So I think here's what it is. Let's just take what we do, right?
Okay.
We're stand-up comedians is one of the things we do.
Mm-hmm.
And we go on stage and we're supposed to present something that's truthful and honest. And with that comes ugliness at times. Right, a good actor allows himself to be ugly on screen. A good comedian allows himself to be ugly and talk about ugly things. That's why I always say, like, when a comic tries to be too cool, I'm out. Like, a good comic is uncomfortable and vulnerable on stage. You know what I mean? It's not like you appear to be in control, but when you're really in control is when you're letting yourself be vulnerable, in my opinion. So I think that with what you're saying is that a lot of people don't do what we do, right? Or so you're out there every night, you know, being vulnerable, talking about deep things, you know, that you're trying to. And people don't know how to do that. They weren't raised with those skills. And it's a long process to do this. So I think on social media, unfortunately, our society is riddled with keeping up with the Joneses.
Mm-hmm.
So people want to be like, hey, look at me. I had a great weekend. Here's what I did. How many people post shit of them like drinking a White Claw, going to an event, but doing nothing? Like, why are you posting this? What have you done? Like, I'm seeing what you did this weekend. Like, what are you help? How are you help? What am I supposed to do with that? Oh, that's so cool. Oh, you did it. You went on a canoe trip with the fucking girls and your guy. I mean, what do you, why? I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
No, do something. Cook.
Mm-hmm.
Show me a skill or fucking make me laugh or do a cool dance or read a good poem. Something. Mm-hmm. Well, here I am existing. Okay, then if you're really hot to look at, okay, I'll look, man or woman, you know what I mean? Not that I'm into men, but I'm just saying, like, that's a skill set to be, like, aesthetically pleasing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. So I think we live in a society that is insecure.
Yeah.
A lot of people are insecure, and they won't admit they're insecure. And so that's why social media thrives, because people are out trying to do each other as opposed to going, hey, what's up? Like, I got this weird, like, wart. And I'm, you know, but like, there's also then people go out the other way and they try to outgross each other. It's all types of shit.
That's what
you gotta ask a very specific question. You ask these multi layered questions.
Me?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm working. I'm trying. My brain doesn't think simplistic. This is what I say is actually weeding out a lot of shit. Like, this is, you have no idea. Like, people, I have trouble forming sentences because there's so much firing going on from different angles.
I can see that. You got a lot going on in that head.
I do. Because I don't know about you. I'm always trying to figure it out in some sort of way to make sense of it.
Wait, what's your sign?
Virgo.
Yeah, we talked about this. We usually don't get along.
I know, but we do.
But I like you.
Yeah, but I'm not a typical Virgo. I don't know much. Please don't come at me. Virgos
are typically very annoying people.
Thank you.
For me, I'm a Gemini.
Yeah. I just know that they're supposed to be like good with money. And I'm like, number one, no. Like, number one, that didn't work out. Like, so it lost me at good with money. So I just kind of left it there alone. Yeah. But that's all. I just, you know, yes, they're complicated questions and they may not be simplistic like they should be. But eventually, maybe they'll be drilled down. But I just think there's a lot that are coexisting. They contradict one another. Like with social media, yes, people are like, be more real, be more real. But then when you're real, they don't want to hear it.
I think, like I said, I like social media that'll draw me in. You know what I mean? So like if I see like somebody cooking or like or give me a restaurant, like food reviewer. Yeah, I use that stuff. Or like I said, like if you do see a beautiful woman, you know, you're going to click, you know.
Sure.
If you see a fit dude, like I like to work out, I'll be like, okay, what's this guy's tips? Right. You know what I mean? Or if I see, I'm not like in the cars, but you know, if somebody showed me how to change the oil, I would use it because sometimes I need to know that.
I feel that.
So it's like, I think that's what social media should be. And I think, but mostly it's like, here's a great one.
Okay, I give it to you.
I want to thank so happy for Thor Love and Thunder for having me. I saw someone post that on like the red carpet and like half of the step and repeat was pulled down. And I'm like, Thor Love and Thunder did not have you. You snuck on. Or somebody had a ticket and you went at the end when that shit was being ripped down. And you're doing this like, oh, for having me. They reached out to you. Like what? So it's like, that is the sadness of social media. It's like, just say like, hey, man, I snuck in here. Don't I look cool? Like, that's the problem is, why are we so obsessed with trying to look cool? Cool is the death of society. That's great. I love that. But you are cool because you know this. And it's like, and I believe this, who you are. Like, there are people that are like, because I think you're, can I say that you're pretty?
Yeah.
Am I allowed to say, is that illegal?
I'm going to take that. Yes, for consent.
And so, but you dress cash. Mm-hmm. Can I say that?
You can say cash.
And so it's like, but you know how people do that? Like, there's girls that are like models. And they're like, growing up, I was so weird. And like, I never fit in, and like no one talks to me, and like I don't believe it. It's like a work. It's like if you go to the Oaks Gourmet, you know Oaks Gourmet, it's by my spot, and I went in there. This is what I'm trying to talk about.
Yeah.
There was a dude, and I go there with my buddy who's like a real stuntman, and like he's in the business, and like there's people that are like in the business, and there's people like that are posing, and this dude was 6:45 a.m. and this dude's out there with a fedora. A fedora and boots at 6:45. I can't keep my eyes open. I'm just going to go there and get my coffee because I'm going to play golf with my buddy. And my buddy's like, yo, hey, Chad. And he's like, hey, man. He's like, I like your hat. You know, he's fucking with him. He's like, oh, this old thing? Like, yeah, it's just something. I just happened to grab a fedora. And no, that's a work. So what I'm saying, when people go to Jet Rag and act like they're really, that's a work.
Yeah.
But you actually, I believe your essence.
Thanks.
And so
little as possible.
And,
yes.
And so this whole thing of like, I don't know, it's like, and that has, being cool has to do with being accepted, and I believe that basically if you're vulnerable, you will attract the right people. If you like that, like I'm into vulnerability.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like I like talking to people. I don't like groups. I saw people at mini golf the other day. Six people playing golf and mini golf. What the fuck they talk about? That's just too many. I'm a one-on-one. You know what I'm saying? Like, one-on-one.
Yeah,
so it's like, you ever go to Miami?
I've been there. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't. I love the place for food. I can't stand the place because no one has a soul.
Or clothes. Yeah.
It's bizarre. What do people talk about there? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm not into that.
Yeah.
So I think that is the answer of like, what's your vibe? To me, I'm like, I like to get to know people. I'm like, I could talk to anybody on a deep level. That's what I'm about. I'm about like, yo, how can we connect here? And a lot of the world isn't operate like that. They operate on like, hey, man. So like, I just got this new bag. Or like, get the fuck out of here.
A lot of people, I think, I mean, because I'm like that too. I've always been intense. I don't think you're intense. Well, existential. Like, since I was a kid, I was always like, what are we doing? What is this?
Existential from Kentucky.
But even as a kid, I knew that I wanted to leave Kentucky, not because it's a bad place, but I needed to know what else was going on out there. I was like, this cannot be it. Like, and that doesn't mean Kentucky is like a ceiling. I just mean like, there's always, I like to seek a little more. And once I get there, a little more. Like it's, but that's my personality. But I do think there's people that, one, don't have any interest in that. And I know, and then they're
at all. And well, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's a painful existence, isn't it?
I mean, I don't, but that's the thing. I don't know, Jamie. What, I don't know.
Do you feel like you have a painful existence? No, for you.
No, I like my existence.
You don't have pain?
I do have pain, of course. Like, well, I'm saying, really.
Don't you think it's painful to be the way your mind is and have to walk around all the meat puppets?
Meat puppets. Can I say something?
Yes.
But here's what I'm working on, though.
Yes or no? It's a simple question.
Yeah, but I don't want to come across as judgy because it.
Oh my God!
Listen,
that's the world we judge. It's okay to judge. It doesn't mean you're a bad
person.
Here's where I'm at.
Because in my own personal life, right? Because of what I'm going through, like with my own dad, right? Like just stuff that I'm dealing with, is that I don't ever want to act as if or think as if like I'm better than some, because I'm not.
It has nothing to do with being better.
Yeah, or like that.
But that has nothing to do with being better. See that?
Different. Can we say different?
Oh, no, it's not about being better. It's about, there are people that just are shallow. It's okay to say there's a lot of shallow people. Okay. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
So why is that judgy? There are a lot of shallow people.
Okay.
And you're a deeper person.
I don't know. I never want to feel like I'm judging anybody. That's just, I know.
Well, then
Jamie,
you know what you should do? You should just lay in your bed, pull the covers over it, and
but
never.
That's my shit. I know.
Get up. I mean, because do you ever buy a coffee?
Yes.
Do you go, this fucking coffee sucks?
Yes.
Judging, you're a judgmental piece of crap.
I know.
I mean, that's life.
I'm not saying
it's not like you're like,
right.
You're not doing it from a high horse.
Yeah.
It's okay to have an opinion. You're a comedian.
That's just where I'm at. I know. I'm not saying this perspective is correct.
I'm not saying it's right. Well, there isn't one correct way, but I think it's okay to say, because what you're saying is you've always questioned things. You've been an existential person. Yeah. And I'm saying that's a painful existence because I know the pain I have when I have to walk into a room full of shallow head, non-thinking people. Mm. But you're saying by saying that, that's judging. If I'm judging, then I'm Judge Judy.
For me. Judge Judy.
Fucking.
For me, again, why I say this, because what happens in my brain is that I start to separate myself because we're not the same. That's what happens for me. And then and all that does is create a separateness from me and you. So I have to find some similarity with every human being on the planet so that we can somehow connect on some level. Doesn't mean we have to be friends.
No, I get it. I know what you're saying, wanted you to be.
I need to be stronger in that.
I agree with you. It doesn't. I'm open to anything.
Okay.
But you can also have an opinion and go, well, yeah, that person's just, they don't get it, or they don't get what I'm saying. And it's like, okay, I'm going to walk away. It's okay to feel that way, in my opinion.
Okay.
But you're like, well, they're still a good person. It's not saying they're a bad person. It's just like, they just like Birkin bags all day. That's all they like to talk about.
But it's still, I guess, selfishly maybe. I don't want to separate myself from people because it doesn't feel good.
I agree, but there are going to be people that you just don't agree
with.
You're
right. I know.
That's a little crunchy right there.
You can
say
that.
Do you know what that
means?
That's
fine.
What does that mean?
It means like crystals and
yes!
fucking sage and shit.
That's a little Bend, Oregon. You know what I'm
You're
saying?
Right.
That's a little like, here's my granola ball. And we all matter. We all do matter,
You're right.
but...
I need to work on finding the more bitchy side.
Because you're not crunchy. You're smarter than that.
I know. But I'm just telling
you. You're not. That doesn't mean you're a bitch.
I didn't say that.
Having an opinion, you just said, I got to work on my bitchy side.
You're yelling at me right now.
I'm not yelling at you. Oh, my God. Here's the Virgo.
The annoying part. I'm kidding. Listen, we're on the same page. We are. Because when I listen to you, I'm like, I like listening to you. I like people that, you know, make me think and be like, huh, that's some interesting shit. Like, about where the world's going. I like that stuff. Because usually, on a daily basis, people don't want to think about it, so they numb out on other shit. Whether it's drinking, coffee, video games, movies, relationships, buying shit. Of course they do.
Can I comment on that?
Please comment on that.
I haven't drank in 5 years, and only because I did it for selfish reasons, because I was getting like bloated in my face, and I would like do like I did a guest spot on Lucifer, and I really looked fat in it, and I was like, make the Lucifer guest spot is like the thing that kind of made me quit drinking, right? And I was like, I'll do it for 6 months. It just kept going, right? And now I've almost not drank for 5 years. I'm not sober. Like, I barely smoke weed once in a super blue moon because it makes me super dumb.
Mm-hmm.
But I've tapped into my super like self, and like, I know, I think you're sober. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you realize how many people do numb out just with booze, just like these fun drinks, like a White Claw and a Truly. And you see these like younger generation, like, and it's like, and it's like, I'm like an old lady now. I'm like, I watch this, and it's like, it does numb you out more than ever. Mm-hmm. And I listen, you got to live your life. I've had a lot of fun. I was once one of those young ingenues drinking Trulies. But at some point, it's cool to be able to step back and go, it really does numb you out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fascinating.
It is fascinating. We'll just put you in an alternate reality. Like, it just, you're just, does that make sense?
100%. I would drink sometimes just because I had a rap. I didn't really drink much. And then like a rap party, or like a successful week of shooting on a movie, or like, ooh, it's a premiere. It's like a celebration. That's how I looked at it as. And then it became like, ooh, there's a food angle here of like Italians, red wine, sake, and sushi. And then that's like, really it was about the pounds. And I was like, this is not, you know, calorie deficit enough. But as I stopped doing it, at first, you're like, oh, I can't go to these certain places now. But now I don't know when I'll drink again, if I will, because I love this mind. I know that sounds crunchy, but I really do enjoy being clear-minded.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
Because you can really feel a lot.
Yeah. I'm going to let that settle for a second.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's some real messed up stuff when you
judgmental
just
really... prick.
No, you're not. God damn it, Jamie.
Salt or pepper?
Salt.
Don't judge pepper. A little bit.
I'm done.
Can you retract that one?
Which one? I can retract anything.
The
I'm very
judgmental.
Malleable.
You can
sure.
have an opinion.
Sure. Yes.
Judgy
sure.
is like. Oh my God!
I guess judgment.
She
is
got fat.
Can I say something?
That's a
she judgment. Got fat. It's maybe judgment was the wrong adjective.
I'm open to, like, I listen to now? Republicans, Burp? I listen to Burp. Democrats, I listen to liberals.
Yeah.
So that's not judgmental, and that's why I get judged, because people are like, "What are you?" I'm like, "I'm nothing." I kind of just try to assess information.
Yeah, people freak. Do people freak out on you? They come at you strong. Yes.
Oh, for sure. Dr. Drew said it perfectly.
Yeah.
If you question, like, let's just say, I don't want to get in trouble, but if you question the vaccine,
mm-hmm.
then you're not only just an anti-vaxxer, you're a Republican MAGA. It's like, what?
Yeah.
So it's like, they've equated things that, like, with one thing all the way. So it's like, yeah, it's crazy. But it's nuts. I mean, like, people are just, you want to talk about judging. That's judging.
No, 100%.
And so it's I'm just, there's a lot of things that a liberal will say, a liberal minded person, and I'll be like, well, I really agree with a lot of that. And there's certain things I'm like, no. And then there's certain things a Republican minded person will say, and I'll agree with. So you have to subscribe to one camp in life now, and it's stupid, and I refuse to do it. So if that makes me an outcast, so be it.
Yeah. And you also, let's see, not only on your podcast, because then we're going to draw and then we're going to wrap you up so you can get on with your day. We're going to draw.
What did I say I didn't want before this podcast started?
There's no homework.
I said I don't want any homework.
There's no homework.
Tell me your three favorite songs. How did they affect you?
I said, I texted Jamie. I was like, do you want me to send you an email or something? Some people like that. That makes them feel better. Yes. What they know that they're coming in. And I felt really proud of it because I never did that. And so I was like, do you want me to send you an email? He's like, oh, fuck God, no, please don't. Unless there's is there homework? I hate podcast homework. I was like, there's no fucking homework. Just fine, show up. Just show up.
Tell us two stories. One scary. One, tell us your worst hookup story.
That's why I didn't prepare any questions for you, Jamie. That is exactly why I didn't prepare any, because you are somebody who's been around long enough and you've talked a lot.
Like, too much.
You've done a lot of podcasts, a lot of radio, a lot of TV interviews, like a lot.
Yes.
And I was like, God, it is. It's like, what can you talk about with someone that is fresh, that you have passion about, that you want to talk about, that isn't the same old shit that you could go on any podcast? Like, I want to listen to Jamie Kennedy. And then you have all of your historical things of how you got to where you are. Mm. But I was like, which is fun, which is great. But with you especially, you have such a current, what is currently kind of a fresh perspective and a very transparent and vocal perspective of what's happening.
I appreciate it. I'm trying.
So that's all. Like, that's really what I wanted to talk to you about, because I'm passionate about that stuff.
I know.
And I think, and it's an interesting observation in our country right now to kind of watch the polarization and the tension and the constant gridlock of. And it's, I don't know. It is an interesting thing because there's two sides of it. You can get all wrapped up. You can go all in it. I'm always trying to find the balance of staying present, being aware, being current, but also having, a level of sanity and joy about and enthusiasm for future, for hope. Does that make sense? I know it was a lot of talking. That was a lot of talking.
You're like, here's kind of what I'm getting from you.
Yeah,
you're like,
it.
I love chocolate cake with frosted ice cream.
We can edit all this out.
But I also don't, I really don't want the calories. Like, you can't have your, I think what I'm, the only pushback with you is.
Go for it.
Is that, and this isn't pushback, but yeah. I'm noticing with you, I have this saying, which I tell people, is that people want to go to heaven, but they don't want to die. Do you know what that means? Basically, people want to go to heaven and get the spoils of heaven and all the things that it's supposed to be, but they don't want to go through the windshield in a car accident to get there.
Jeez.
I know. I picked a fucked up death.
That was really fucked up.
But meaning, it's to get to this, it's painful, right? Dying would probably be painful. I don't want to do it. You don't want to do it. But what I mean is, they want, and I think, it's okay. Like, the things are going to be hard. Like, I think the number one thing is that you're a person that you're an artist searching for what you are, and you're also bring joy to people if you do comedy. Right, that's our job, and that's a beautiful job. Mm-hmm. It's a low-key frontline worker. I'm saying, you're not saving lives, but you're hopefully helping mental states. Mm-hmm. And so I think that within that is going to be some just difficult decisions of things that will be polarizing. Mm-hmm. But I'm an open-minded person, and I always say keep an open mind. So that's why I was like a little booty tickle when you said judgy, because I guess I have an opinion, but I don't know if it's judgy. It's like, I can be swayed.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not closed-minded. That's the big thing. I don't mind being called judgmental as long as I can be swayed. And so I think that, but it's okay for you. Do you have a people person complex? You got to please people.
For sure.
Yeah, that's a hard thing. And I've had that but it's will get less and less with time. And as new variants come out and stock market crashes and aliens land, I mean, I think every day more shit's happening that's like, what's the fuck, right? So I think if you be, because you got to be good to you.
Yeah.
Because I can see that you're, there's a lot going on in your analytical side of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be torturous for a brain. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard, man. It's tiring.
Yeah. They all look the same. It won't even look like you. It's not supposed to look like you.
You weren't on for that.
It's okay. I've done this a lot on this podcast. It's okay. Everybody's done it 28
times.
But everybody's done it.
Should I start?
And they all look the same. Yeah. Do you mind if I ask you one last thing while you do this?
Go ahead.
Are we on, Katie?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, we kind of talked about it a little bit, but I always ask. See, I'm done. This is you.
Not terrible.
It's not terrible, but do you see what I'm saying? It's, you know, there's it's low pressure, but it kind of frees up your brain for just 1 second for you to be present. That's my hair. I like what you're doing with my hair. So, Jamie Kennedy, the name of the podcast is Not Cool with Sarah Hyland. So I know we talked a lot about not cool stuff and cool stuff, but what would you say is the most not cool thing about you? And that can mean anything. He just finished his drawing. Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Is that a duck fin or my hand?
I gave you the nose. Oh, wow.
It's good, huh?
Mm.
You have to sign it because then what happens is eventually we're going to put all these up for bid, all these my guests that have been here who are all amazing. And then whatever money that is bid on, then that goes to a charity that you would like for that to go through. So it's a useful situation.
Wow. I would say not coolest thing about me is I mean, there's definitely a good amount. I would say I'm not like, I don't like make things super fashionable. I can look like sometimes schlubby. Is that a good answer?
That's not that bad. That's great.
I like being comfortable though. I'd rather be comfortable than high fashion.
It goes with your whole jam though. It's fine.
A whole like, you know, homeless chic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're working it. It's same.
Same. There it is. Same. No, but you're like retro.
But can I say like, but that's the thing. It's not cool, but it's actually really cool.
It's real cool.
Yeah.
It's cool because you're comfortable.
Jamie Kennedy, where can people find you? I know you're on the road a ton.
I'm on the road. Just go to my website, jamiekennedy.com. You see my pod, my very judgmental pod. My judgmental Instagram is there, my judgmental YouTube. I just don't want to judge anyone. I just don't. I just, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Yeah, just go to my website. See everything. I'm excited. I'm going to have you on at some point.
Yeah, I just watched you on Steph Tolliff.
We're going to talk.
That was really good. I promise, can we leave, when we leave here, will you leave the idea that you thought I said that you were judgmental? And maybe I did. And if I did...
I will forget it.
I retract it.
I haven't eaten. I'm tired.
It's hot. It's 400 degrees. No, it's not.
And I'm on like intermittent fasting and like, I don't care. You can call me anything. You're sweet.
You're sweet.
I just have like, you know, the world's ending. You agree with that, right?
I do.
The world's crazy. So that's why I'm like, don't worry about the little shit.
I'm not. I do. That's why you can't, with all this seriousness, you know, it was kind of weighty stuff that we talked about, which is fine.
I went with it.
I liked it. But you know what? The other thing is too, is like, also don't take yourself so fucking seriously.
Yes.
And the whole world so seriously.
Yes.
It's all going to be okay.
Yes.
If you're present and you're right here, yes, right now.
Yes.
And just doing the next thing. It's fine. Everything's going to be okay.
Yes.
That is what I do know. And go see Jamie Kennedy because he'll make you laugh. And that always helps. There's John Sosa's. Anyway, thank you guys for joining us. Go find Jamie Kennedy. He's hilarious. Are you guys okay? Okay, go see Jamie Kennedy. He's hilarious. That'll always make your life a lot better. Thank you guys for joining. Bye, bitch. Hey everybody, you want more Not Cool? Then go to Instagram and subscribe to Not Cool Pod, and or on my own personal page, which is Sarah Hyland Rosenstein. And to watch the full videos of the podcast, subscribe to the Comedy Store channel on YouTube. And please don't forget to rate and review and, of course, subscribe. Thanks for listening and watching, you guys. Stay not cool.